122, Chorus Book. 122 from the Chorus Book. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so on this one?
Peace.
to see Pastor this afternoon. I know some of you did as well. Considering he just had the surgery on Thursday, he is really looking good. He's looked a lot better than the last time I saw him here at church. He's still sore, but he's hoping that they can let him out of the hospital earlier than anticipated. All the doctors keep telling him he's making much faster progress than he anticipated, so that's good to hear. And he wanted me to say hello to everybody. So those of you who haven't had a chance to see him, he wanted me to say hello. But anyway, so he's doing much better than he was earlier. He's been able to, he actually was telling us today when we went to visit that they've actually been able to take him on short walks where he actually leaves the room and goes down the hall a ways and then is able to come back. So that's good progress. And then for those who didn't hear already, they've allowed him to be on, he had Jell-O when we were there. So that's good. Fluid liquids. Apparently Jell-O was allowed as part of that. So anyway, so that's good progress. And we'll keep praying for him. And beyond that, our normal services, Wednesday night at 7. And pastor's asked me to speak that night, so I hope you'll join us and hope it'll be a blessing to you. Then I failed to remind everybody about this last Sunday night, but we do have a guest preacher, and if you would like to give a love offering to him, I'm sure he would appreciate that as an encouragement for being a blessing to us. So that would be good. Okay, 144 in our course book. Thanks to God for my Redeemer.
This thing stopped playing because the page just went down inside.
Oops.
So Christ, blessed Savior, since He's cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him.
The day we got saved was the day He touched us, amen. And I personally believe that He continues to touch us after salvation. I think the touch of salvation is one thing, but there's many touches in reference to sanctification, amen. You know, there's one time in the Bible, one time where Jesus progressively healed somebody. He could say the word, He could touch a person and heal them completely one time. But only one time in the Bible, Mark chapter number 8, does Jesus actually progressively heal an individual. A blind man, He touches him and He says, "Do you see?" And he said, "I see men as trees." He didn't see completely. He didn't see totally. He didn't see clearly. But he saw men as trees. He saw, I guess, something. But then the Lord touched him again. And when He did that, he saw completely. Amen. And I'll tell you, it's a unique text. I think there's a great thoughts about the nation of Israel in that text. The first time Jesus came, the whole nation didn't see Him. Some did. The many that did, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. But when He comes the second time, they're all going to see Him very clearly. And as a nation, they're going to be saved. Amen. You know, the day that I got saved, the only thing I really could see was the gospel. I couldn't see everything. You couldn't see everything. I could see the gospel. But it's the continual touches of the Lord that opens our eyes wider and wider, and we get to see better and better. Amen? And so we need His touch. In fact, every time we get together, we have an opportunity for Him to touch us with His precious word. Amen? And continue to work in us to make us more and more like Him. Well, tonight I want to try to finish up what we started in Sunday school. If you have a Bible, would you please turn in the book of 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter. I want to thank you again for your hospitality. Every time I come to this church, everybody's very friendly, very warm, very welcoming. And I thank you for that. And thank you for my brothers in the back that took me out today for lunch. I appreciate that. We had a good time of food and fellowship. And I did change my shirt because I got spaghetti gravy, spaghetti sauce on it. I bring an extra shirt with me just in case. You know, I was telling our brothers and others we went out to eat. Anytime I can't decide what to eat, I always go for chicken parm, you know, with spaghetti, always. And on a Sunday with a white shirt, I mean, it's, you know, there was a time I almost made it through. Got to the very end and just that little gravy got on there, you know. And I was encouraged by somebody to freeze the garment and then eat it later, amen. But I don't want to do that, amen. This morning we started talking about being diligent. And you recall we looked at 2 Corinthians 8 where Paul encouraged the believers to grow in being diligent. And this morning we talked about the simple understanding of being diligent is being dedicated to a task. We have many tasks as believers that we need to be dedicated to. It's not just one thing. Now, there may be one major thing the Lord has called individuals to really majorly task on that, if you will. I kind of think of what Paul said, you know, when he narrowed down a task, this one thing I do. Amen. So anyway, you and I, we have many, many things that we have to really task, if you will, multitask. For some reason, it seems like ladies are better at multitasking. Can I get a witness on that one? I mean, you know, me, I got like one thing I can do and my wife's like doing this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, I can't do it. I'm just, you know, maybe I'm just shot, amen. But the fact of the matter is that we talked this morning in Sunday school that we really need to be diligent about prayer. And you know, we talked about that, right? Because that's going to get answers, amen. Be it yes, be it no, or be it wait, amen. God always answers, right? And so we need to be diligent about that. Now, the second thought about being diligent that I want to bring up tonight is that we need to be diligent about growth. About our growth. In other words, we need to be dedicated to the task of growing. When you get saved, you get started. Amen. But you know, with our salvation, we are obligated to do something with it. Amen. I think of what Paul said in Philippians 2, verse number 12. He said, you know, work out your own salvation. Don't ever confuse that with work for your own salvation. Amen. But when you get saved, you get everything you need to be what God wants you to be. You get it. Now, what we do with it is another thing, amen? And so we have to be diligent about growing. Listen, if we don't grow on purpose, we're probably not going to grow by accident, amen? I don't think people become what God wants them to become by accident, amen? We need to grow and we need to focus on it. And I want you to look with me, if you would, please, in 2 Peter chapter number 1. Let's begin in verse number 1. This is a great text that really, really encourages God's people to do their part and to grow, amen? 2 Peter, if you would, chapter number 1. Let's begin in verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He says to them, and by the way, this message is to them, get this now, that have obtained what? Like precious faith. Peter's basically saying, look, I'm a believer and I'm saved and I want to speak to you that have the same faith. Amen. By the way, we all get saved the same way. You don't get saved different than the way the Bible tells. And it's by faith. Amen. And we have a common salvation. We have a common faith. It's a like precious faith. We believe the same thing Peter believed. Amen. And that's how we get saved. So Peter says, listen, I want to encourage you that believe like I do. I want to encourage you. And here's what he says as we go through verse number 1. That we have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, verse number 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us. Now, get that. See, Peter is saying, from one of the first things he lays out is, we have a common faith. We believe the same thing. We believe the same way and we're saved. But when we got saved, we all have been given something. Amen. God has given us something, and he's given us, if you will, all things. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? He's given us all things. Basically, he's taken away my excuse. Well, I can't be everything God wants me to be. Boy, if I could only, amen? And so really, hey, listen, we all have the same thing. He says in verse number 3, he's given us all things that pertain to life. And to what? Godliness. That's growth. Hey, when you get saved, you're not godly. Thank God he saves us where we are. Amen. But he loves us too much to leave us there. You know, there are many, many churches today that do not encourage people, do not, challenge people to grow. Amen. In fact, their philosophy of many of the new modern churches is come as you are, leave as you were. That is not God's will. You understand that. It is never God's will for you to come to a meeting with the Lord Think about that thought. A meeting with the Lord. I personally believe that when we gather together, we make up a habitation for God. I believe the Spirit of God meets with the local assembly. I believe Jesus is in the midst of the gathering. And I believe that when we get together, we thank God for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank God for the preacher. We thank God for all of these things. But we want to meet with the Lord. Amen. And when you come together to meet with the Lord, you should never walk out the same way you walked in. Amen. And by the way, that's a wonderful principle in the book of Ezekiel. I can't think of what chapter it is off my head. It's in the 40s. But during the millennial kingdom, it refers to the temple, the millennial temple that's going to be built at that time. And it says that people that come into the south door, when they leave, they need to leave out the north door. And it says people that come into the north door, when they leave, ought to leave out the south door. The whole picture is when you come into the temple to worship the Lord, you shouldn't leave the same door the same way that you came in. When you come and have a meeting with the Lord, something needs to be altered. Amen. I think of the great example. We okay? Ezekiel 46:9. Let's turn there. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. That verse, Ezekiel 46:9, to me, when I read and studied that and looked it up, I thought, man, that's a great illustration of what God wants to do for us on a daily basis, especially as we gather. Ezekiel 46, if you will, please, and verse number 9. Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse number 9. I'm going to have to take that brother with me everywhere I go. Amen. Ain't nothing like having a human concordance, amen? What we say, 46, thank you, and verse number 9. Let's look at that. It says in the Bible, but when the people of the land shall come before the Lord, get that, before the Lord, in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south. He that goeth in or entereth in by the way of the south gate shall go out by the way of the north gate. He shall not return the way of the gate whereby he came in. You can't get no more plain than that, but shall go forth over against it. Can I get a witness on that? What he's saying was, anytime you come into the presence of the Lord, come in to meet with the Lord, you should never leave the same. So this so-called philosophy, come as you are, I believe come as you are. But I don't believe leave as you were. Amen. Why? Because when you meet with the Lord, something. Hey, listen, if God can just alter my thinking a little bit. Do you ever do something and get off course? And after a while, you're getting a little bit off course. By the way, an inch off course here, if I keep on going, I'm way off course way down the road. Is that correct? If the Lord could just change me a little bit now, perhaps the future, I'd be really changed. Amen? One of the great examples or illustrations, and I mentioned it in Sunday school, was when Jacob wrestled with the Lord. Talk about having a meeting with the Lord. By the way, when the Lord touched him, and the Lord, by the way, that was a great hymn. When the Lord touched Jacob, it did something to him to the point that Jacob walked away different from that meeting than he walked into that meeting. Amen. He limped away. Amen. And when you and I get with the Lord, he wants to touch us in such a way that we walk away different than when we came in. Amen. Now I want you to turn back, if you would, to 2 Peter, if you would, chapter number 1. 2 Peter, please, chapter number 1. God has given us everything we need. We looked at that in verse number 3. Everything that pertains to godliness, we have what we need. Now look at verse number 4. He goes on to speak about some of the things we have whereby are given unto us. Again, he's given unto us. Not only has he given us his power, his spirit, if you will, but he's given us his word. Verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding what? Great and precious what? Promises. We find that where at? In the word of God, right? That by these you might be partaker of what? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit, we get the power of God, we get the word of God, the precious promises of God. We get what we need to get through this life. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you without somebody to come along your side and help you to get through this life. And we know that's the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what we have here, by the way, this is the wonderful thing. When we get saved, we all get saved the same way. It's a common salvation, but we all get the same thing. We all get the Spirit. We all get his word. We all have an opportunity, don't we? Now look at verse number 5. See, here's the challenge. Verse number 5 is a challenge. Peter starts off talking about we got a common faith, we got a common salvation, but we all have the same spirit, we all have the same scripture. Now what you do with that will determine what you become as a Christian. I preached a message here, I think I preached it here, on common salvation. I ever preach that message here on common salvation? Okay. I only preached that last week when I was here. I'm teasing. I think I preached it here. I preached it some different places, so it might not be here. Down south, sometimes they use a term. When a person gets saved and really gets on fire and lives for the Lord, people say, man, I wish I got what he got when he got saved. As if he got something you didn't get. You know what we're doing basically is we're saying, I'm not the kind of Christian I ought to be, and I wish I got something different like he got something different, because he's different. Well, the fact of the matter is, the day you got saved, you got the same thing he got. You say, well, hold on a minute. Why is he different? Why is he on fire? Maybe why is he loving and living and doing the right thing? Because he got saved like you got saved, but he's doing something with it. It's not a matter of you getting the same thing. It's a matter of you giving the same thing. There are some people that are better Christians, not because they got something you didn't get, but because they're doing something with what they got that you and I are not doing. Amen? Watch this. Here's the challenge. Look at verse number 5. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 5. Peter said this, and beside this, beside your salvation, beside the fact you've been given the Holy Spirit, if you will, the power of God, beside the fact you got the promises of God, beside this, here's what he says, giving... Hold on a minute. Giving. We just got done reading in these first few verses that we have been given to us. You've been given the power of God. You've been given the word of God. We have been given. Now what we have to do is give back something. Giving all, here's the word we're studying, right? Diligence. Giving all diligence. Now I hate the word all diligence. Put it together. Here's what it means. Give it everything you got. If I were to give everything I got to being what I ought to be, I promise you, I'd be a lot better. Amen? Giving all diligence, what does he say? What's the next statement? Add to your faith. You know what adding to your faith is? Growth. Isn't that true? You have the basics. You get the basis when you get saved. Now you are responsible. I am responsible. Do something with the spirit that I have. Do something with the scripture that I have in order to help myself grow. You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it what? Drink. You can give somebody a Bible. You can see somebody get saved, get them the best Bible that they could possibly have, even give them a good study book. But listen, putting that in their hands is one thing. What they do with it is another. Amen? It talks verse number six. Well, verse number 5, he says, add to your faith, and he names some things. Add virtue, which is moral excellence. Add knowledge, and to knowledge, add temperance, self-control. Add patience, being able to endure. And by the way, there's diligence in itself. Add godliness, and to godliness, add brotherly kindness. And when you add and grow, and the height of it all, the peak of it all, is brotherly kindness, but here it is, charity. Self-sacrificial love. He lists seven different things that we need to add and grow to. And you know you're grown when you have charity. When you are self-sacrificial in your love for others, you've grown. Amen? We are responsible to diligently do what we have to do in order to add to our faith. Verse number 8. If these things be in you and what? Abound. There's growth right there. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things, a person that doesn't grow, is blind. You can be saved, not grow. You're not going to see very clearly, right? And you cannot see afar off. And you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. I tell you why some people get saved and doubt their salvation. They don't grow. If I got saved and didn't do nothing and didn't grow at all, I would probably look in my life and say, hold on a minute, I'm not too much more different than when I got started. Can I get a witness on that one? Watch this. Look at verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, here's that word again, give what? Diligence. what he's saying again, do something about your Christian growth. You have what you need. Do something. Give all diligence. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Listen, I believe one of the ways to make your calling and election sure, I believe one of the ways to assure your own heart that you're saved is to grow. There is an old term, you remember this, the proof is in what? The pudding. Now that's eating, right? Pudding. Who likes pudding? I love pudding. Rice pudding. Cinnamon, a little bit of whipped cream. But nonetheless, why are we getting off on this evening? The Lord gave me a thought, and I think it's the Lord, or I'll take credit for this one, and not credit, but I won't give the blame to the Lord. The proof of your salvation is in the pudding. The putting off the old man and the putting on the new man. You know how you know you're saved? You look at your life. By the way, do you know how other people know you're saved? They look at you and say, man, you're not what you used to be. You're not the old man you were. You're a new man. There are people that can recognize you're saved because they look and say, hold on a minute. He didn't just say he got saved. Man, there's the old man I used to know. I don't see anymore. And you got this new man. Do you know your own heart will look at your life and say, am I what I used to be? Or am I what I ought to be? And by your own works, by your putting off or putting on, you will assure your own heart. And the spirit inside of you will assure your own heart that you're saved. Amen. The proof is in the pudding. Amen. We are responsible. And I can't spend more time on this because I got a few more things to say. Let's go to the next thought. Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. I know I only have till 9:30, so I'm going to try to get all this done. I said that one time in a church and a person got up and left. I have never been back to that church. I don't think a pastor wanted me back. Now I'm teasing. Hebrews, chapter number 12. Do we got that one? I mean, simple, right? We have to be diligent about growth. We have to be dedicated to the task of growing. And by the way, I believe your presence here tonight is showing that you're diligent to the task of growing. Amen? Because you're here to say, I want to feed on the word. I want to feast on the word. By the way, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Amen? I want you to look at Hebrews. Let me give you another thought here tonight. Hebrews chapter number 12. I want you to look with me. Let's look at verse number 14. The next thought that I want to give us as Christians, and by the way, tonight's message obviously is primarily for Christians. We need to be diligent about prayer, we talked about. We need to be diligent about progress or growth, if you will. But number three tonight, I want to talk about this. We need to be diligent about purity. We need to be diligent about purity. We all have to be dedicated to the task of being clean, spiritually speaking. Amen? By the way, if we're not aggressively diligent about that, we're going to get dirty just standing still. Can I get a witness on that one? Isn't that the truth? I want you to look with me, Hebrews chapter number 12. Look at verse number 14. Hebrews chapter number 12. Look at verse number 14. Follow peace with all men. And what's the next thing it says? Holiness. You know, follow means pursue. You got to be diligent to try to pursue something. Amen. I promise you, you're not going to become a holy Christian by accident. As I mentioned, the other thing, we're not going to be these things by accident. We have to aggressively do the things that make for holiness. Amen. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. Verse number 15, I should say. Look what it says. Now, in the context of pursuing holiness, in the context of pursuing being clean and different as a Christian, here's what it says. Looking what? Diligently. So I have to aggressively look for something if I'm going to be clean. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of what? Of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And by the way, he uses, if you read on verse number 16, he uses Esau as an example. He said, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You and I, listen, have to aggressively work at living right and living clean and living holy in this dirty world. Amen? One of the things that we have to diligently get a hold of is what? The grace of God. Why is that? Why do I need the grace of God when it comes to living clean and living right and maintaining a holy life? Here's why. Because in every moment of temptation, I need the grace of God to help me. In fact, we're in the book of Hebrews. Is that correct? Turn with me, if you would, please, to chapter number 4. I want to show you something. You and I can be like Esau, and we can sell out on the blessing of God as a Christian for something for our flesh. Amen? We can give up good blessings that come from heaven just to satisfy our own flesh, if you will. Amen? Hebrews chapter number 4, I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 14. And you know this is a popular portion of Scripture, but I want you to see it. Remember we talked about looking and pursuing holiness, and while we're doing that, we're looking diligently for the grace of God. Why? Because His grace in every situation and circumstance can help us to overcome and not have to fall into some pitfall. Amen? Look at verse number 14 of chapter number 4. By the way, people have called the book of Hebrews the fifth gospel. And the reason they do is because it continues the story of Jesus Christ. We know as we read through the Gospels, we read through the life of Christ, and it ends off with Him ascending to heaven. But Hebrews picks up with where He's at and what He's doing. Amen? He's sitting on the throne of grace. Hebrews 7:25 puts it this way. He ever liveth to make intercession for you and me. Amen? Why is He alive? He saved me by His death, and He saves me by His life. Amen? Because He's alive, I can go to Him in my moment of temptation, and I can get deliverance by Him. Amen? Look at verse number 14, if you will, of Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What that means is this. See, there were many, many Hebrew believers who were tempted to quit, tempted to throw in the towel, tempted to go back to their old religion and their old lifestyles, and they were saved. And this book is an encouragement that says, hey, don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Keep on keeping on. Keep living for the Lord. Amen. Hold on to your profession. Look at verse number 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, if you will, yet without sin. Amen. Now look at verse 16, which is the key that I want you to get. Let us therefore come what? Boldly unto the throne of what? Grace, that we might obtain mercy and that we might find grace to do what? To help in a time of need. Looking diligently for the grace of God in my trial, in my situation. When I'm tempted, I don't have to give in. Although it might be a dark situation, I can look diligently. God's grace can help me. Listen, God's grace will never fail me, but there are times I fail the grace of God. I could have used it. I could have got His grace to help me. Instead, I gave somebody a piece of my mind. And you don't have much left normally after that. Amen. Somebody said, if you give somebody a piece of your mind, you will not have peace of mind. Amen. But there are dark times and dark situations, and temptation is knocking and the devil's knocking, and we can look diligently. God's there and His grace is there. He can help us. Amen. We have to be aggressive about this this task, if you will. I want you to look with me for a moment, please. Look at 2 Peter. We're going to 2 Peter again. There's a lot of diligence in 2 Peter. 2 Peter, please, chapter number 3. 2 Peter, chapter number 3. What time you guys usually get done on Sunday evenings?
Oh, 7:30.
Okay, all right. 7:50, 7, no, geez. Right about now, yeah, amen. No, somebody said we would have been done, brother. Anyway, I want you to look with me for a moment. Look at chapter number 3, 2 Peter chapter number 3. I never want to, you know, I remember reading a book one time, questions that were asked to preachers, especially popular preachers. And one of the questions was, how long should a preacher preach? And I know we all have our opinions on that. Can I get a witness on that one? And I remember the wise answer of one old preacher, and he said this, you preach as long as it takes to get the message across, but not too long that it's forgotten. Isn't that good truth? There are times a preacher will preach, and maybe I do this, don't know it, because we're all blind to ourselves, right? There are times when the preacher got the message across, and you know what? We could shut there, we got what you said, but then he'll go off on something else, and the main thought is forgotten. And this is something we want to be careful of, amen? But I do want to focus on this. Listen, we need to be diligent about purity. You and I, just standing still, are getting dusty. You don't have to go anywhere or do anything. Go stand outside, the dust of the world will get on you. Ain't that the truth? We have to actually aggressively keep ourselves dust free. Amen? You have to work at that. It's something we have to do. Now I want you to look with me. 2 Peter chapter number 3. In this text, Peter's talking about the Lord will come. You know, people are running around. Where is the promise of his coming? Where is he? He's coming. Don't you? By the way, the reason he hasn't come yet is he wants more people saved. His not coming back has nothing to do with the slack of his promise. It's got to do with his love for people. Amen. But anyway, within the context of the Lord is coming back and everything's going to be destroyed, we know one day, Peter says this in 2 Peter 3, look at verse number 13. And who is he? I'm in 1 Peter, that's not going to help. Let me go to 2 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse number 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. Won't that be great? It won't matter. It don't matter who's president, just as long as who we know who's king. Amen. But here's what he says, because he's talking about the future and how the Lord's going to destroy everything. But you and I, we're not looking for destruction. We're looking for that new creation. Amen. But look at verse number 14. Wherefore, in light of that, right? Beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, right? That you may be what? Found of him in peace without spot. That's purity, correct? Blameless. So we know Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is saying, listen, believers, the Lord is coming back. We're looking for his coming. By the way, with that in mind, make sure you're diligent to be found when he does come without spot. Amen. In fact, I think of 1 John chapter 3, 2 and 3. Now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We're going to see him as he is. Watch us. And he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If you have the hope of his coming in you, you're going to keep yourself clean. Amen? Peter, or Paul, by the way, let me just say this. Paul, in Philippians 3:9, was concerned about being found in him. There's a statement, being found in him, and that's got to do with salvation. You and I, thank God, we're in him. We don't have to make that our concern, but we need to be concerned about being found of him. Amen? We want to be found clean, if you will. We are responsible. And we have to diligently do what it takes to maintain purity. Let's go to another scripture tonight, if you would. Look at Proverbs chapter number 4. And I think we'll close up with this text. Proverbs chapter number 4. We have to aggressively do the things that have to be done to keep our lives clean before the Lord. Amen? And by the way, boy, the parallel with keeping yourself physically clean is the same, isn't it? Can I get a witness on that one? I mean, listen, hey, by the way, I don't know if I told this story here. When I was young and a teenager, we used to go to, you know, Bible camp. Our church would go to a Bible camp, and we had one young teenager. He had some issues, but nonetheless, he only had a shower once a year. I'm telling you, his family was a little, you know, not there, if you will, amen. And this young man, and he wore pretty much the same clothes almost a year. So the only time that he was afraid of water. Now, he stayed in our cabin. And with socks like that and a smell like that, it ain't happening. So can I tell you, folks, he didn't volunteer to shower. Me and a couple other guys, and this guy was a skinny guy, so we had a couple bigger guys like myself. We actually had to throw him in there and get him done. Amen. And then we would give him some of our clothes. They were baggy on them, but man, he would feel fresh about it. Amen. By the way, I mean, you got to be out of your mind if you're not doing things to keep yourself clean. And I think spiritually speaking, that parallels, because other people can smell the fact that you're not keeping clean spiritually. Can I get a witness on that one? I want you to look at Proverbs chapter number 4. Look at verse number, by the way, I have to throw this in here. I took that young man's socks, those stinky, dirty ones, and I put them in a friend of mine's pillowcase. Between the pillowcase,
when he went to bed that night, I don't want to tell you what happened, but yeah. I'm bad, I know. Look at Proverbs chapter 5. I got to be careful talking about how bad I am, because I have people throwing things in my face already, talking about retard and everything. But nonetheless, look at Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse number 23. I want you to see this, please. Verse number 23. Keep thy heart. See, you and I are responsible. Nobody else is going to keep my heart. Some preacher said everybody's got a garden, and you're responsible for your own garden. Amen. Nobody else is going to keep your garden. Keep your heart. Look at verse number 23. What? With all what? What a task. What a task. Amen. If we don't keep our heart and keep them in shape, if you will, blessed are the pure in heart. If we don't keep our heart, nobody else is going to. And it's going to get all overgrown with the world. Amen. And by the way, we got to watch those weeds of the world that come up, because they choke the word. And our lives become unfruitful. But watch this. Look what he says. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Verse number 23. For out of it are the issues of life. You and I are making decisions on a daily basis. And we're making decisions from our heart. And if our hearts ain't clean and right, we're going to make wrong ones. Amen. We are responsible to get God's word in there. Amen. I mentioned it earlier and I'll throw it out again. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 37:31, the law of his God is in his heart. His steps shall not slide. We got a better chance of walking straight with God's word in our heart. Amen. No doubt about it. Jeremiah, I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time. Jeremiah 20, verse number 8 and 9. I think I might have mentioned this again here. Jeremiah was the prophet who quit on the Lord. In fact, he told the Lord he quit. He said, I'm done. So I'm not going to mention your name anymore. You know, Jeremiah lived in a dirty nation. Nation of Israel, really way far from God. Jeremiah was preaching against the nation, and he was telling them, you need to get right, and you got bloody hands. And and what they did was they mocked him, they persecuted him. And because of what Jeremiah went through, he said to the Lord, I'm done. I quit. I throw in the towel. But here's what happened. That's what Jeremiah said he did. It says, but his word was in my heart like a fire, and I could not contain. I couldn't even do the wrong I wanted to do, because his word just was producing. Fire, by the way, produces purity. Amen. Heard one preacher say this about that text. The fire inside has got to be greater than the fire outside. The persecution that may come on us, that fire, that fiery trials are one thing. The fire, fight fire with fire, but may the fire of the heart be greater. May we say, like those in the book of Luke 24, did not our hearts burn within it? There's a good heartburn right there, amen. As he talked with us, opened up the scriptures unto us, amen. Let's be diligent about the right things, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for your spirit tonight. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for the great hymns and the great music. Lord, what a preparation for preaching and listening. Father, tonight, help us to be diligent about prayer in our life. Help us to be diligent, dear Lord, about purity in our life, dear Lord. Help us to be diligent about progress and growth. Help us to be dedicated to the task. Help us to do what we have to do. We'll never get answered prayer by accident. Lord, we'll never be pure and clean and right by accident. We're not going to grow by accident. We have to, on purpose, do the things that make for these. May our hearts tonight be challenged by thy spirit and by thy word in a wonderful way. Lord, if anybody needs to be saved tonight, may they understand the gospel truth of Jesus dying and being buried and rising for them. And Lord, if there's anybody has any questions, Lord, they can ask any one of us. We'll be sure to show them from the scriptures how to be saved. I pray you'll bless as the brothers come and close up this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
By special request, we try to do this almost every time Brother Renzi is here. Take our chorus book and turn to 2:11. Everything's all right in my Father's house.
Why don't we all stand on this one? And because I know my dad's going to listen to this message.
Yes.
And this will be a blessing to him when he gets to the end of this. Mm-hmm. If the message wasn't a blessing, this will be.
Called us to do. May we be found faithful in a day and an age yes. when the world, the flesh, and the devil are all against us.
Yes.
Help us to serve you the best that we can through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great night. God bless you.